yet another fabulous episode of Two Peas in a Podcast, where we have Michelle and
Trevor.
And we've decided to take a little bit more of a philosophical view of gardens this episode. And haven't we, Trevor?
We're looking at it in a broader sense. And we could speak about peas and potatoes, which we have done before, but that's a bit narrowing. So we've gone to a wider idea of biodiversity and basically the healing power of the garden, which is thousands of years old. When you think about it, the original people talked about their cloisters and their secret gardens as a place of meditation and healing. So I think we'll just try and talk around that point of view. Fantastic thing. I said to you when I gave you these pots to put in your windowsill at school that the kids would look at them, and when this alien creature of green came out of the dead brown earth, they'd all report back to you saying that come up, and I was quite right.
No, you were absolutely right. And I think looking at healing from two aspects as well, looking at it from, you know, perhaps the more concrete aspect, as we know, the plants, which have healing power and potential, but also looking at it from the philosophical or the more spiritual aspect, where, like you said, watching a seed you have grown spring up out of a pot is, I dare anyone to not be excited and immediately have their mood elevated.
Well, I think too, and people have written music about spring and summer and winter and the changes that take place and how that's so much of psychology, that our feeling of wellness comes from there. I mean, they all talk about wellness, but I think that wellness is a mental state. And flowers too, you know, when you see the bright red flowers and all the intricate colours and the bees feeding on them, you also, just like when this alien green thing comes out of the ground, you also think, well, I like being in this place. You know, there are songs written about where have all the flowers gone, and they're basically depressing songs, you know, because when you lose flowers, you lose a lot, you know.
Well, I mean, if you ever question the healing potential of flowers, why do husbands and boyfriends turn up with a bunch of flowers, particularly when they are in trouble, to hand them to their spouses?
No.
Clearly, that is because they know that handing over some beautiful flowers will elevate the mood of the person they're giving them to.
It will. If a person's down and those flowers there, they just seem to, they give life to a dead room, you know. They are pretty important. And the bees and the butterflies also give life to a garden, you know. So having those things fluttering around is a joyful thing. And I think it's agreed, actually, that it's not so much the garden as the fact that there is life in that garden, and that renewal of life gives us hope. I mean, we're at a time of change, aren't we? You can see that everything's changing. People talk about climate change, but what they're talking about is an environmental change. And, you know, there's change everywhere. You just feel that things are happening now, as though there's a, you know, the hippies have gone and there's a new generation coming. Well, that's how I feel, anyway. And the life that you get coming out of the soil and the rebirth you get from plants.
I guess as well, like, when you think about the concrete jungles, unfortunately, that a lot of towns can become. And when you look at the fact that now people are passionately growing indoor plants, even, you know, plants in really small spaces on balconies and verandas. I went to a friend's house today, and in her tiny little bathroom, and she does love a garden, but in her tiny little bathroom, this shelf must have had six little indoor plants on it, and it was just gorgeous. And I said to her, oh, look, you've got your indoor plants. And she said, yeah, they make me happy. I've thought about bringing indoor plants inside a bit more. So I think you're right. There is this real element where people are starting to connect back to the importance that plants have on our mental health.
Yeah, and I think corporations are aware that plants, when you think of a plant, what it's doing is breathing in carbon dioxide and breathing out oxygen. So you can get money for that. You can plant trees and they'll pay you money to, what's it called? Sequestrate, I think.
Sequestrate.
Yeah, carbon into plants. And so it's functional as well. And it's another thing too, I was around your nick of the woods in West Gawler, and I saw a few areas there where I thought, if you did them up, that'd be such a beautiful area to walk into town that people would start taking them, because you know, mothers have to push prams and they go up and over these curbs and down the road and into gutters, and it's a pain pushing a pram around the city. Well, if they level it out, they made it a bit nice and they put a few more plants in, a few more flowers in, a few more herbs in, well, then the walk into town could be joyful.
I walk into town because I'm only 10 minutes out of Gawler. And I agree with you. I often stop and look at some of the plants. But the people who have their rosemary bushes and lavender just in front of their fences, you know, it's impossible not to grab a few branches and rub them in your hand and smell it and keep walking. And I agree with you. I think if some of these walkways were more user-friendly and people started to recognise that, well, you know, each time I walk such and such a space and you're not having to, particularly I think people who use gophers or who are perhaps not as confident on their feet.
Yep.
I think we certainly need a little bit more friendly areas for them, because that's very important that they feel safe when they're kind of engaging.
Well, that's right. I mean, we go from gardening to infrastructure. We're talking about levelling things out and making it easy generally, but all the time you can be landscaping, and you can be landscaping with a purpose. You know, if you put rocks or gabion walls in, you're giving hiding places for things like the tiny lizards and the skinks that we got and the geckos.
Spoken about this in some of our earlier podcasts as well, where the garden is about creating that gorgeous nature and the bugs and the, even the microbes and things like that.
Yeah, that's what you've got to do, because you're basically after health. You're after that oxygen in the air, you're after everything living, because if the flowers start to die, well, then things start to get serious, you see. So you are talking of really the garden extending out into the verge, it's extending out into the planting areas along the footpaths, and it's going down into the parklands, and it's connecting everything so that the birds can fly there, so the lizards can dash there, so that the frogs can hop there.
So the frogs, their waterways actually have to be fairly close to each other, don't they? When you were going on your walk, as you were coming down my street, did you see somebody has put some gorgeous little pot plants on the verge? Did you see the little, almost like a little plant shrine outside one of the houses?
No, I didn't see that. Sorry, I didn't actually walk down your street.
Because there was no coffee at the end of it. But there is somebody about four houses down from me, and it's utterly delightful. They've just got a whole bunch of pot plants and they've made quite a little kitsch verge garden. Instead of digging it in, they've done it with pot plants and a few little garden gnomes. People stop and they look, it's gorgeous. They're really moving outside their yard into the verge, and then their view is they're saying, we're trying to get a few more people to grow things.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did go to a Birds SA meeting, and they want you to get up and speak to your politicians. Well, I don't want it, you know.
Trevor? You'd be good at it. I think Trevor should.
But the thing is, you ask everyone to do that, like I ask you to do that, and you're reluctant to too, because that exposes you. But you don't really have to do that. You can just put pots on the verge and you can slowly sneak these things in, because the populace is behind you, basically, but no one wants to put their head on the block. And I mean, the other things that we'll need doing in the long run, so we're talking 10 years, you know, you're talking maybe in 5 years that walkway will get built and it's beautiful and everyone uses it, and so the pollies will take the credit for it, which is, which is probably what's going to happen.
Trevor, you're sitting.
Well, I mean, that's the reason I don't particularly, you know, want to put myself in the firing line. Now, sure, that's pretty common, you know, because if I said to you now, well, you have to go and fight for this bike track with plantings and frog ponds and rocks on it, you'd say, well, I still feel stupid going towards politicians with that.
So, Trevor, you do all the grunt work, right, and I'll stand up and do the talking.
But, I mean, you can say it in the countryside too. We're talking about the street scene, which is introducing the landscaping into the city, but it's also the country as well. Out in the country here, which is where we are on 2 acres, you've got more of a chance of introducing water, for instance. You can put in big tanks because there's room for it. You can put in overflows, you can put in swales, you can put in bogs, you can put in ponds and things. Well, they're very good. Just about every creature likes water.
Yeah.
So one of your challenges in the city is to put in rainwater tanks and, you know, ponds and bird baths and all that, because they'd need it. You look at those streets where you live, there's not a bird bath in sight, you know. Maybe the odd person does it, and so the birds would appreciate it, but there's no community effort to attract all these biodiversity into there.
Certainly not big water spaces. You know, there might be the occasional bucket of water or whatever, but no, I agree. Yeah. And also that idea, I guess, like you're talking about, that suburban corridor, like the corridors of planting and things like that, that's what we need as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're very good with your tall trees at your place, but a roadway, a two-lane roadway, is about 7 metres wide. Now, I got my satellite photographs and I measured the width of the streets around your place, and they vary between 14 metres and 20 metres. So there's a lot of space to either side of the road, which is just bitumised, you know. It's bitumised because that's the lazy thing to do. But you can start getting serious about adding a few extra tall trees, because there's mobs of corellas and galahs and stuff flying overhead here. Right, my wife and I, we sit there and they come like a whole entertainment band into our trees, you know, like they're doing upside down flips and they're squawking like dinosaurs and they're colourful and they're full of life. Well, that's another thing like flowers, in that you're there, you're bored, you're on your own, and then suddenly there's all this life comes into your place. So tall trees, I know you've got a few in your place, but tall trees down the, you know, your side of the street or something would then add shade, and there's a lot of benefits to shade. You know, sun is good too, but shade is good, particularly in our climate. So, you know, you could run a campaign, or not that I'm telling you to, but there would be good reason to put in big planter boxes and trees. And even if they're something stupid like fruit trees, well, you know, if you put up peaches and apricots and plums, the birds love them, you know. You might not get any, but you get a lot of birds.
Well, when I was in Morocco a couple of years ago, all their treescapes are citrus. And so it was just gorgeous, where you'd have 200 citrus trees down the street, and people would pick them or not pick them, kind of thing. The beauty of that also was that people never went hungry, really, because there was always all this gorgeous fruit, and the kids would pick it on the way to and from school. But yeah, I agree with you. I think bulking it out, and really, if you've got all those fruit trees, it doesn't really matter if the birds get most of them, because what are you going to do? No. Eat half a dozen peaches in a day? I don't think it matters. I'm happy to share.
I think too that, you know, the jacaranda looks beautiful when it's all in purple.
Yeah.
And that reminds you of the seasons. I mean, apparently in Japan they go bonkers about cherry blossom time, but that becomes a tradition. And it is a community thing. It does get people together. And I was walking down that, I think it's 13th Street at your place, and it's the most beautiful avenue. I think they're white cedars. They got these little green balls that you throw at your brother when you're about 4 years old, you know. They got all these seed pods, but they're a beautiful colour too in flower, you know. And so you've got this massive asset that goes down a street, goes down a slope, goes halfway into town, and no one's using because they're not even paved, you know. It's just dirt.
And you're right, you have to kind of know that it's there, feel comfortable using it, and certainly encourage people to be using it and offering those sort of ideas around. Well, I look at some of the reserves around Gawler as well. We've got some really beautiful reserves, but we've also got some quite large spaces where nothing is happening. Have you noticed that? They're just, you know, or the old playground or things like that. I think people are a bit scared of trees, Trevor. They're convinced that every potential attacker is hiding behind a tree so they can leap out.
One of the articles I was reading about bike tracks, which I've renamed Focaccini's.
Focaccini's, I love it.
Because it's Italian for fiery and for bicycles. Well, it's a Focaccini company that makes bicycles, but you're really not talking bike tracks here. You're talking of pedestrians, you're talking of women with prams. I mean, what do you do with a kid who's screaming at you? You put it in a pram and you take it for a walk, you know? And that is the life of women between the ages of 23 and 30. They're always looking after these kids, and they need some place where they can safely walk. And so it does need solar lights. It does need safety, you know? It needs to be in a safe place. And that's something to think about. But if you do these things, of course, the lifestyle of the woman is greatly improved, because you're not stuck at home, you know?
I used to, when I lived in Adelaide, one of my favourite things I used to love to do when my son was little was I had a bike seat on the back of my bike.
Yeah, well, that's the other one,
And the linear bike track. So I lived in Clearview, a suburb just out of Adelaide, and it would possibly take me an hour to safely ride my bike. I never had to negotiate traffic because of all these lovely bike tracks.
Beautiful.
Pack a lunch, we go to the River Torrens, yep. Feed the ducks, eat lunch, ride the bike home again. I probably did that a good couple of times a week because when a toddler, that's a great day out.
Yep.
For me, it was, you know, exercise and we had this lovely day.
Well, that's true too. It's
you know, because toddlers are delightful, but they're really hard work and at times really quite boring. So if you put them on the back of your bike, you're having this lovely, you're engaging them, and they come home and they have a sleep and you have a cup of tea and sit down. So, but I agree, but it was about that safety thing. I would not have done that if I'd had to ride on the road with a toddler on the seat. I would never have felt confidence to do that.
Well, I don't know how long since you've been down the coastline of Adelaide, but all on the coast now, they put up brilliant promenades, you know?
Yeah.
And that everyone's walking there. You can sit there and about six people walk past you while you're having fish and chips, you know? And they all sort of look at you and laugh at you. And it is quite nice. There's lots of seats. There's lots of safe areas where you can put your bike and leave it, you know? And you really need that for gophers as well, for
their
mobility. And so these things, surprisingly, there is quite a lot of things down there that represent infrastructure. Like you need toilets and showers. I mean, one of the big hang-ups with people on bikes is when they get to their place of destination, they're smelling a bit. But you also need toilets along these places. And now they got fountains that are water fountains for the walkers, but also down at ground level, the dog fountains.
I know, how cool is that? That is very good.
Yeah, and, you know, you obviously need seats because there's old coaches. Let me assure you, I know about these.
Have you met some, have you, Trevor? I thought they were an urban myth.
And you need a seat, you need to let your legs rest. And there's also tyre repair stations. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, but which would be no use to me because my idea of repairing a tyre is to ring my son to come and rescue me.
Yeah, well,
I refuse to learn how to use them.
But, I mean, they're probably, apparently, stupidly, I can't believe this, but apparently kids need education how to ride a bike.
Doesn't surprise me.
Is that true?
Probably, yeah.
Well, I mean, I pushed my daughter around on a bike on a farm until one day we're going uphill and I realised I wasn't holding her anymore. I let go and she went right up the end of the hill. She turned around and looked for me and I was right down the bottom. I said, you've done it, you know. But anyway, kids have to learn to ride bikes and you do need safe bike parking. I mean, a lot of these things are deterring people from using the facilities in the city. And when you think about it, there's never going to be enough roads. You know, you really do have to get people walking into town, walking to the shops, taking their kid on the back of a bike or going with a gopher and doing otherwise, there's always going to be this traffic congestion. So these chinis, these bike trails, gopher
trails...
Are they
focaccinis or focaccinis?
I don't know.
Okay, focaccinis. I think you're just hungry, Trevor. You want a focaccini for dinner.
You're right.
No, I guess I've been to Holland where there's bike tracks everywhere and they have a double track and they've got the bike track and the walking track, but they've also got these small, almost like a goat. Not that I saw any gophers in Holland, interestingly, but the little bikes that I think are under 250 cc's, you know, like the little scooter track as well, which is next to the bike track, which is something new they've introduced just to try and further deter car use, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, Holland's fairly small to be honest, but I mean, they virtually all of Europe has made it unnecessary to own a car. Those gophers are really just golf carts, so electric golf carts.
So actually, it'd be really interesting to see what people think about whether if there were more bike and walking trails in Gawler, would they use them? Would they utilise them? Is that something that genuinely...
Well, I think if you did them right, they have to be pretty big because you can't have the cyclists dominating. I mean, if they come roaring past and the news headlines next day is mother and child in pram got run over by high-speed bike, you're in trouble, you know?
That's
so
true,
you've got to have decent tracks. Well, I mean, you also point to the fact there's bike share stations everywhere now. So that would probably, if you had the tracks, the rest would come, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. That's on radio. I think Trevor's absolutely right.
Okay.
No, I do. I think you're absolutely right. I think if you start with that, because that effectively is what people know and understand, it would expand. And and it would be used?
Well, a lot of places around the world are doing it, and apparently Denmark claims that after 75 years they've done it. They've even got a sky bridge in the centre of the city where you just for bicycles, you see. But the whole idea would lower greenhouse gases. It would get you there quicker because you talked a bit about traffic jams. It's certainly cheaper and it's certainly healthier. So why wouldn't you think about landscaping the city as a whole over a long period of time, mind you, but just have in mind the aim of bringing the garden and all those flowers and trees and birds and lovely things into a nice quiet Focanini.
And that's where we're going to finish on the Focanini there. So thank you very much, Trevor. It's the word of the week.